I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey fam, I'm Simone Boyce.
I'm Danielle Robay.
And we're the hosts of The Bright Side, the podcast from Hello Sunshine that's guaranteed to light up your day.
Like our recent episode with sisters Regina and Raina King about the why behind their production company, Royal Ties.
We have such a huge love for storytelling without walls, without barriers.
Listen to The Bright Side from Hello Sunshine on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Let me tell you a little bit about our special guest. Barry Eaton has an incredible background in all areas of media, entertainment. He is a highly experienced radio and television presenter in Australia, having spent many years with the Australian Broadcasting Corporation. He has lectured in radio journalism and production. He hosts an internet radio program called Radio Out There. He is a qualified astrologer, psychic, and medium, and back in 2012 did what he terms a postgraduate course in mediumship at the world-famous Arthur Findlay College in the United Kingdom. Welcome back, Barry Eaton, with his new work, Past Lives Unveiled. Barry, always a pleasure to have you on the show.
George, it's great to be back, and thank you for inviting me.
How are things down under?
Well, look, it's midwinter here, but the temperatures are pretty warm, so we don't know whether it's global warming or what's going on, but can't complain too much, I guess.
You were with me in November of almost a couple of years ago, how quickly time flies by, but you've done a great job with this new book, Past Lives Unveiled. You even got past regressive hypnosis yourself, didn't you?
Yeah, look, I had a couple from a couple of my other books as well, Afterlife and No Goodbyes. But in this particular one, I worked with a guy called Peter Smith. And Peter's just the outgoing president of the Michael Newton Institute. And Pete trained with Michael Newton and did regression, all sorts of things like that, Life Between Lives programs, ran them here in Australia. And he and I become really good friends. He put me through some really amazing regressions for this book as well. And it's an incredible experience, George, being regressed and then suddenly finding yourself in another time and space altogether.
How many past lives do you think most people have, Barry?
Look, this is a question that comes up quite a lot, but it's difficult because everybody, as you know, has a unique life, and who knows? I mean, I've been told by my contacts in the spirit world that this is my 66th life.
Wow.
So, I don't know, but I think some people can go on and have many, many lives. It just depends how many we need, how many we have. And that's only on this particular planet. You know, we do have lives on other worlds as well.
Well, that's an interesting thought, too, is what determines how many lives you may or may not have?
Well, it's out of our hands, really. We don't sort of sign up for a number at the beginning. But as we've talked about before, life here is we're an energy form, having a human experience in a human body. But once our energy disappears out of that body, heads back to the world of spirit, the afterlife, whatever you want to call it, then we plan for the next stage of our journey, our spiritual journey, as Peter Smith describes it, the lineage of souls. And this can go on over many, many thousands of years, really, because I've got an instance in the book that goes back 30,000 years. But it just depends on how we've handled the current life that we're in as to where we go from here. Because there's a reason for past lives. There's a reason for a continuing life. It's not just something that you pop in here for a few years and then switch off the the switch of the wall, and bang, everything goes black, and that's the end of it. There's a lot more to life. And you know this, George. I mean, you've done so many afterlife conferences and things yourself. It's, life is an ongoing thing.
And what determines, Barry, in your opinion, when we stop these reincarnated lives? How do we get to the end of the road here?
Well, once again, this is an individual process.
Yeah.
But it's decided by the powers that be, really. It just does, as on Earth and every other world, I guess, there are the powers that that work out what's going on in our lives. And once we get to the end of our journey here and on many other worlds, then as far as I can work out, we sort of just get absorbed back into the source of all creation. And you can call it the source, the great spirit, God, whatever you like. But that, too, is a huge energy source from my experience. And when we're able to be just assimilated back into that, then we disappear back. And, well, who knows what happens then? Because I haven't talked to anybody that's come back from that yet.
The title of your book is Telling Past Lives Unveiled. Tell me about that.
Well, when we're born, a veil drops. There's no way we could possibly want to remember or even could remember all of our past lives. But the veil drops. It's an expression, really. I mean, it's not a curtain as such, but it's a kind of veil through the memory. And we are then able to start each life afresh. So I figured that if we're going to explore past lives, then we've got to lift that veil. We've got to go through the veil, come out the other side, and just do a little bit of exploration to see what it's all about, how far we can go back, why we want to go back there. But once that veil is lowered, and you wouldn't want to have it. I mean, can you imagine being stuck somewhere in a situation where you're with a group of people, maybe some of them you met for the first time, and all of a sudden this memory comes flooding back of some horrible thing they did to you in a past life, and they might have killed you in a past life in a battle or stolen your wife or husband or ripped you off in business or whatever. You wouldn't want to exactly rush over and embrace them, would you? It could be very, very embarrassing. So we've got to start off each lifetime afresh, so the veil drops. But children quite often do remember. And this is where we get a lot of wonderful instances about children remembering their past lives.
What do you think the importance is of examining past lives? What does it do for us?
Well, it's not just a Hollywood time tunnel experience, as I've mentioned in my book. The fact that we explore past lives is not just something to do on a wet Sunday afternoon or something. We go back for a reason, because as we go from lifetime to lifetime, we bring back issues to resolve, call them karmic issues, call them unresolved issues, many different things. Plus, we also come back to work with other people. So the whole thing is that once we come back into each lifetime and start working with these issues, then it just depends on how well we treat them each lifetime. If we can get through the issues, come out the other side, some of the tasks we've set ourselves while we're back in the afterlife and or in between lives, and it depends how we go each lifetime. And, of course, so many of us just keep on building up more and more karma. So we've got to come back again to resolve the karma that we're making in this lifetime. So the whole object is balance.
Do you think people, Barry, who have been despicable as human beings will reincarnate and get better, or what happens to them?
Well, once again, you know, everybody's got a unique story. And the one thing I have been told is, by the way, that from my spirit contact, we don't come back as a mosquito or a cockroach or anything like that. Next time you whack one with a rolled-up newspaper, don't worry about it, you know. You're not killing your best friend from 5,000 years ago. But, it's a difficult question, that one, really.
Why is it so important for some people to understand who they were in a past life? And also, Barry, why don't we remember our past lives in our physical body right now, for example? Why does it take regression in order to recollect?
Well, the physical body is like an empty vessel when we come into it, and we bring back our spiritual energy, and that comes with the mind, of course, and we look at the mind, which is broken up into the conscious and the subconscious. The conscious mind is about 5 to 10% of the whole mind, and that's the left brain area. Then we move down into the subconscious, which is 90 to 95%, and that's where we go back into all these forgotten memories, subconscious memories, and many different areas that are stored there from lifetime to lifetime. So that's what we're able to access. But it's a complicated sort of thing. But once we realize that we're not coming back into a body just to have a bit of fun and whip off again at the end of it all, we are here for a purpose. And that purpose is the evolution of our soul. That's the most important thing. It's a journey. And we need to keep on improving. We need to drop off and resolve any issues from the past. Keep on having experiences until we don't need to come back anymore.
Is there a protective mechanism within our system, too, Barry, that prevents us from recollecting these past lives while we're, you know, moving along in this life?
Well, once again, I think that goes back to the veil question, George, because once the veil is dropped, and this is done at a subconscious level, we've really got to delve in there to be able to access these memories. They're not just flooding into our consciousness all the time. Our conscious mind has too many other things to worry about, you know. When am I going to eat tonight? Where am I going to sleep? What job have I got? How am I going to get through my school exams? Whatever, whatever. So the subconscious then retains all of these forgotten memories, but it's there lurking beneath the surface. But the conscious mind has got too many other things to worry about to be able to even think about that sort of thing, nor do we need to worry about it, I don't think.
Yet it seems, now this is interesting, that children tend to remember their past lives without any regression. How does that happen?
Well, the young ones do, George, and there's a guy called Dr. Ian Stevenson who...
One of the best.
Chief psychiatrist at the University of Virginia, as you well know, I'm sure, and he underwent incredible amount of testing on about 3,000 to 4,000 children, and he found that the majority of the kids that came back with past life memories that stayed were started off at about 2 or 3 years of age, but then by the time they got to about 6 or 7, those memories started to fade. But a lot of them have come back, and there's been some amazing stories of children being able to remember who they were in a past life, and even saying things to their family like, "Well, you're not my real family. My real family lives over in that other village over there, or this other part of the world, or whatever. When I was with my other family," and they keep talking like this, which you can imagine it must be pretty disconcerting for the family.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
When they go and check up on these things, they find that, yeah, a lot of these memories are absolutely spot on.
What was the case of that James Laniger, the little boy who was a World War II pilot in another life, and he got everything right?
He did. But he had this fetish with that aeroplane from the time he was only a few months old.
I mean, he knew that the tires blew out on landing and things like that. It's incredible.
Absolutely. And he was also able to give the name of the ship, the aircraft carrier that he was on, that he took off and died in his previous life. It was the Nantona or the Nantucket or something, some name like that.
And didn't they also take him to a reunion as a little boy, and he recognized some of the soldiers years gone past?
Yep, he did indeed. And he actually mentioned a couple of names before they took him there, and when he met up with them at the reunion, he was able to identify them without having ever met these airmen, who, of course, they were elderly gentlemen by this stage. He was able to recognize and say, "That is such and such," and he was right. It's a staggering case. It's absolutely brilliant.
If you knew of your past lives, how could you use that then in your current life to be beneficial?
Well, it's all about healing, working out what we need to look at in this particular lifetime. And there are some fantastic stories abounding in the whole research area of past lives that people have been able to access and get answers to questions that are absolutely stumping them in this particular lifetime, holding them back, creating relationship problems, personality problems, health problems. And these are the reasons that we go in. As I said, we don't go in and explore past lives just for the fun of it. It's a therapy, and it's a healing therapy as well. I've had a personal experience on this in recent times, even since I wrote this book. And there are so many other people that have had incredible healing stories by accessing their past lives and being able to work with that information and that understanding.
How do we know reincarnation is the real deal, Barry?
Well, I guess it's something that you can explore for yourself if you're really interested in it and there's a reason for it. Find yourself a really good therapist, a hypnotherapist who specializes in past lives. Don't go to somebody just because they're advertising in the local newspaper or whatever. And then find out for yourself what information. But also there's a tremendous amount of research around. And that's the reason I wrote this book, George, because it's the third part of a trilogy I've written on the afterlife. And I was virtually given instructions from the other side to write it. And there is a lot of information. There's a lot of wonderful people out there doing fantastic work, helping you understand the value of exploring past lives and how it can affect you. But, of course, as I said before, it's a unique case because we are all individuals. And what works for one person may or may not work for another one.
And tell us a little bit about that push from the other side to help you write this book. What happened?
Well, I think I mentioned it in our last few chats together. I don't expect you to remember it because there are a couple of years apart each time.
New listeners all the time.
That's fair enough. Well, I worked with a group of spirits on the other side, and it's a guy called John Dingwall, who was a famous film producer and scriptwriter out here in Australia, and he passed over all about 15, 16, 17 years ago. And I contacted him through a trans medium. And he comes through with amazing information that he gathers together all of these spirits at various levels in the afterlife. And I call him my spoke spirit. And it's sort of like he's like the newsreader on a radio or a TV station. And all the information is coming through, the stories are coming through from all sorts of sources that we don't see or hear. And John has all of these wonderful contacts. And, of course, they're speaking through him at the same time because they're speaking through thought. And he has come up with some amazing information and explanations of all sorts of things that I've talked about in my other two books, Afterlife and No Goodbyes. And this time, I contacted him again. I thought, well, I've got to find out if John's on song with all of this. And, of course, you know, as soon as I get in there, his familiar chuckle came across, deep in hypnotherapy, or deep in trance, I should say. John comes through the medium, and he's got a very... very individual laugh, a little chuckle that comes through. And as soon as I hear that, I know he's with me. And I said to him, you know, I'm writing this new book. And he just laughed again. And I said, did you have something to do with that? He said, oh, yes, I think I might have, yes.
I love it.
So he's got a lovely whimsical sense of humor as well. But it's not so much instructions, but I guess I'm on a life purpose as well here, George, of writing these books and helping get the information out. I'm just one of many, of course. But we need to know these things. And the people on the other side, in the afterlife, the guides, the Council of Elders, all of these people, they are wanting us to find out what's going on with life and afterlife. They don't want us to be living our lives in fear. And this is such an important movement, I guess, to be able to get this information out, to help people understand and explore and rationalize these things for themselves.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, guys. Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.